Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Dread Time Stories. I'm your host, Dr. Phobia. And tonight, dear patients, it's time for the much-awaited part 3 of the Cinema Usher series. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. My name is Sean, and I've been a cinema usher for 3 years now. My cinema has rules that you should never, ever break, even if you think they're insane. If you're confused, you should probably start at the beginning. One of the rarest rules we have is rule number 7. I've only experienced it once, about 6 months ago, and I sincerely hope that I will never have to deal with it again. Rule number 7. If you notice the shadows being out of sync with your surroundings, return to the last room you were in as quickly as possible, alone. Close the door, then return to the lobby. Until you do so, do not touch your shadow under any circumstances. The biggest danger you can face with this job is becoming too used to the weirdness. That's the mistake I made with rule number 7. I dropped my guard. I stopped paying attention. I had walked to the other side of the lobby from room 6 before I realized I had no shadow. Cold sweat covered my brow. I looked back the way I had came. My shadow, completely disconnected from me, lay on the floor by the door of room 6, and another usher, a man by the name of Liam, stood between me and it. He was looking straight into my eyes, a narrow grin on his face. I had to think quick. Whatever was going on, I had to get back to room 6, but with Liam in my way, I had no route to get there without confronting him. "Sean, is everything all right?" David called from the door of his office. He sounded concerned, worried even. Could I answer him? Would that make things worse? I ignored the question and started heading back to room 6. The more I looked around me, the more clear it became how strange my surroundings were. Every shadow was thrown in a different direction, as if each of them was illuminated by a different light source. I was nearing Liam now. I slowed down. I walked in a manner that I hoped would appear nonchalant, if I could just get past him and to the door.
"David asked you a question, Sean," Liam said. The thin smile was plastered over his face.
He stepped in front of me, barring my way. "I heard him, Liam. I just forgot something in room 6 is all."
"And what was that, Sean? What did you forget?"
He knew. I could see it in his eyes. Liam, no, the thing masquerading as Liam, knew what I was trying to do, and it knew I wasn't fooled by its act. I heard the office door open behind me. Footsteps approached.
"Sean," David asked, "what did you forget?"
He walked around me to stand next to Liam. I had to convince them I didn't realize anything was wrong. I couldn't get to room 6 otherwise. Even if I did make it there, the rules said I had to be alone. They couldn't follow me. I forgot to clean up a spilled drink. I'll just get some paper towels from the garbage room and go finish. I smiled weakly, cursing my quivering voice. It was a bad lie. I could see it in David's eyes. He wasn't convinced.
"Liam, help him out with that, won't you?" he said, walking toward his office.
Liam smiled at me again. It was a horrible sight.
"Let's go, Sean," he sneered.
We walked to the garbage room. My mind raced as I tried desperately to think of a way out of this situation. Liam was watching me from the corner of his eye, waiting for me to make a run to room 6. A desperate plan formed in my head. It was a gamble, and for all I knew, the other rules of the cinema didn't even apply in this place, whatever it was. But it was the only way I knew to escape. We entered the garbage room. Liam wasn't even acting inconspicuous anymore. He was looking straight at me, still smiling that horrible grin. With Liam following, I walked to the back of the garbage room. I punched him in the face with all my strength. The thing wearing his body stumbled backwards, surprised.
and in the second of time it bought me, I scrambled at the air duct to the back of the room, opening it at the last second, the thing's fingers grabbing me from behind, and it turned me around to face it. The look of humanity Liam had worn before was shedding off like snake skin. His face grew disproportionate, his eyes pools of shadow. He laughed in my face. I knew you weren't fooled. I knew it. Well, playtime is over. Time for you to meet your shadow. It snickered insanely. I hope you like it here, because you are going to be staying with me. I kicked out of desperation, fighting against the thing's strength as it gripped my arms. I managed to turn us around, ramming its back into the open air duct. It screeched in pain. Ever since your master made his foolish rules, I have been alone. Well, no more. First you, then him. Finally, I heard what I'd been desperately hoping for, a sound coming from the air duct behind Liam. The scuttling of many tiny feet. The thing only had a second to realize what I had done. Its eyes widened. No! It was ripped backwards as a terrible force tore it through the vent. Bones cracked as its back and its legs bent in angles they were never meant to. And then it was gone, screaming and cursing. I stumbled away from the wall. I had little time. As I ran across the lobby towards room 6, the thing wearing David's body tore out of the office. It screamed in frustration as it sprinted towards me. I reached room 6. My shadow coiled on the ground, trying to reach me, but just coming short. David was near, meters away from me, a cry of anger and desperation filling the air. I flung the door open, I jumped inside, and I slammed it behind me. Silence dropped like a stone. Cautiously, I opened the door again. The lobby was empty. I looked down and heaved a sigh of relief. My shadow was once again at my feet. Rule number 8. If a garbage bag begins moving violently or making noises, dispose of it in the special chute in the garbage room. Do not open the bag. One of the jobs we have to do here is clean out the garbage room after every shift. This means loading all the trash onto a trolley and taking it to the basement parking lot, where a truck will come to pick it up every week. Rule 8 is probably the worst after Rule 4. It's not mentally as scarring, but it can still screw you up if you think too much about it. It certainly made me pretty miserable when I had to deal with it for the first time about a year back. I was almost done with the trash that day. One more trip with the trolley should have done it. I was looking forward to the end of my shift and the warm embrace of my bed at home. That's when a garbage bag spasmed, dropped to the ground with a wet, organic thud, and started screaming. Help me! Oh God, please help me! The bag riled on the floor as whosoever was inside it strained against the thick plastic. It began to cry out again in panic. God, please, let me out! I can't breathe! My heart was pounding. With shaking fingers, I reached for the bag to tear it open and free the person inside. I grabbed the plastic and froze. Rule 8. The thing in the bag screamed in pain and fear. Is anyone there? Please, you have to help me. It started sobbing, the plastic shaking and curling in on itself. A chill ran down my back. This thing sounded human. It sounded as if it were in pain. It sounded real. But this place had taught me not to believe anything you heard or saw. Cautiously, I took hold of the bag. A hand shot out of the writhing mass and grabbed my arm. I yelled and stumbled back, breaking the thing's grip. Help me! You have to help me! I can't move! I can't breathe! I can't! The arm had been real enough. I could still feel the thing's grip where it had caught me. The arm had been human-sized. but there's no way a human could fit into that bag. I grabbed the twisting, amorphous mass. The hands grabbed at me through the plastic as it screamed for help into my face. Staggering with its weight, I lurched over the garbage chute and dropped it over the edge. It caught on one of the edges with its hands. "Please, please," it whimpered, almost whispering before it had been shouting. I can't go back. Please don't. I brought the lid of the chute down on its fingers. It screamed and slid down the chute, clawing at the sides as it disappeared into the dark. And it went silent. Rule number 9. If anyone exits room 3 during a show, do whatever they ask. Inform the manager immediately. For all the wrong reasons, this story isn't like the others I've told. This story will be different, and I'm not sure I like that. I'm not sure where it will lead me, and this cinema. Because this story happened yesterday. Even though David's warmed up to me in my time that I've worked here, I think he might even trust me. But he still hasn't said anything about room 3. To be fair, I've been too afraid to ask. So rule number 9 has always been a source of mystery, and no small amount of apprehension. No one I asked could even remember a time when they had to obey it. Strange as it may seem, no one had ever exited room 3 during a projection, at least not in the years I've worked here. No one could remember David ever explaining the command, or even talking about it. Rule 9 was as big a mystery as the room it concerned. So nothing prepared me for yesterday, when the door opened, and a smartly dressed man walked out of room 3. I froze in my tracks. No amount of experience in this job could have prepared me for that. He walked over to me as I stood, staring in amazement and fear.
"Good evening, sir," he said.
His voice was flat, emotionless, and in a blank state. But unlike the thing from Rule 4, it was unmistakably human.
Good evening, I finally stammered. The man smiled in slight amusement.
I wish to speak to the manager.
Shit. Right this way, sir, I replied, trying to fake a calm I didn't feel. I wish I could have told the thing to stay. I wish I could have warned David. But it was as if my brain was in ice, sluggish and unresponsive. He walked over to the office and entered. I didn't even have time to talk to David. David just looked up, saw the man, and went sickly pale.
Rule number 9, Sean?
Yes.
Leave us, please. Wait for me outside.
I obeyed. Nothing could have made me remain in that room. Absolutely. Nothing. I exited into the lobby and waited. Time went by. I could hear the murmur of conversation from inside the office. Occasionally, David's voice would rise in volume, and I swear at one point, I heard him weeping. It was a half an hour until David opened the door and walked out. He was even paler than before, like all the blood had left his body. His hand shook, very slightly, but I noticed. And the second before he closed the door, I could see the room behind him. It was empty. The man was gone. David? I asked cautiously, not knowing what to say. Is everything... What happened? David fixed his eyes on me. They were red, rimmed, and bloodshot.
Go home, Sean. Rest, sleep, and prepare.
Why? Prepare for what?
We're gonna break rules 10 and 11 tomorrow.
That, dear patients, was the Cinema Usher series part 3. I hope you enjoyed it, and thank you for listening. Like I always say in closing, check under your bed, look in your closet, and sleep with the light on. The life you save may very well be your own. Good night, everyone.